giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to our deacons, mothers, everyone in their respective places. Amen. I thank God for each and every one of you for being here on this Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
It is truly a blessing to be in the house of prayer once again. Amen. I don't take these opportunities lightly to stand before God's people and speak God's word.
All right.
Turn to Psalms 147. Let us continue to keep Minister Joyce, her family, Mother Pittman, let us continue to keep them in our prayers as Mother Gloria is recovering and as Minister Joyce is dealing with her father. So let us keep them lifted up in prayer. This is where the prayers of the righteous avail as much. Need our prayers. They need it. Psalms 147, verse 5. When you have it, can acknowledge by saying amen. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Amen. Bless the readers, hearers, and doers of God's holy word. Amen. Not only should you read God's word, but you should also be a doer of God's word. Amen. It don't make no sense to, let me say this, read the instructions and you ain't going to follow it. Amen. Y'all know anybody like that? I mean, you get some instructions, you know, and you got it there with you. You read it, but you don't follow it. Amen. God has given us some instructions. He expects for us to follow it. Amen. When we think of power, there's another word that speaks of power, and it's called omnipotent. The word omnipotent is defined by the biblical word almighty. And the only someone that could use that almighty is God. Almighty occurs some 340 some times in the Bible and is never used on anyone but God. God alone is almighty. Who is like our God? God's power is infinite and is unlimited. God can do with power anything that power can do because God has the strength to do it all. He wills to do. God has all the resources and the ability to work his will in every circumstances in the world. Nothing is too hard for God. God is able to do everything he needs to do or wants to do.
All right.
You know, when I was growing up, you know, I knew of God, but I didn't know him. didn't have a personal relationship with him. But I would hear people say that if God is so powerful, can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? That seems like a legitimate question, but it actually describes the foolishness of the person asking the question. It's like asking if God can make a square a circle. If a circle is square, then it is no longer a circle. Amen? It becomes a square. There's no such thing as a square circle. Or a rock so heavy that God cannot lift. Amen? But if there were, God could make it. There is no such thing as a, as I said, square circle, but we need to understand that God can make that too. There is one, and let me share something with you. When I was doing my study, there's at least four things the Bible says that God cannot do. So let us get this understanding. He cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 13. God cannot deny himself. And here's another one. It's in Titus chapter 1 and 2. He cannot lie. Amen? Then there's another one that I found. It's in James chapter 1 and 13. He cannot be tempted to evil. Then another one I found in Numbers chapter 23 and 19. He cannot change his basic nature. You have to understand, those are the only things that I found that God cannot do. But he still is all powerful. No power or will can ultimately thwart, hinder his plan. His purpose. No power in this world can stop God or impede on his plans. No natural disaster, no airplane crashes, no fate or luck or chance can stop God. What God starts, he always finishes. It's not like the project that you have at home, where you start something and then you go to another project, but this one is not completed. We got a slab of paint on this wall. I didn't do it, but we got a slab of paint on this wall. It is a project that is not completed, but God is not like that. When God starts something, he finishes. He stays with the job until it's completed. There is never a divine failure, never a blackout, never a meltdown with God. Our internal security rests on the truth of God's omnipotence. 1 Peter 1 and 5 teaches that we are kept secure by his power, not ours, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last days. Amen? Right. Amen. So Philippians chapter 1 and 6 reminds us that God won't stop halfway through his work in our lives. Because it says, being confident of this, that he who began a work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God is not going to do something incomplete. It's going to be finished. Nothing is too hard for God to do. There is power that is available to his people. To believers who are called to witness and share the gospel. See, when you come into the family of God, God gives you, you have access to power. You have to know how to tap into that power.
God supplies us with power for witnessing. You remember when the disciples were in the when Jesus was crucified and they were all hiding. See, they didn't have the power yet.
All right.
They didn't have the power, so they couldn't do anything. But when they received the power of God sending the Holy Spirit to them, then they were able to come away from those locked doors. And go ye therefore teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Witnessing. See, they didn't have their Holy Ghost power before, because if they did, they would have been out there teaching and preaching. But when they didn't have it, it's because they didn't have the power. See, God supplies his people with power. And when you get power, you become bold. Because see, you don't care what people say about you. You don't care what people think about you. You don't care if people are staring at you. All you care about the author and finisher of your faith. We need power to witness. Sometimes you got folks that don't even want to mention Jesus' name. Don't even want to say his name. Don't even want to mention the name of Jesus. But don't you realize that there is power in his name?
Yeah.
Demons tremble in his name. You know, I remember, and let me just say this. I remember, this is a good point to make right here. I remember when I had an older stepbrother. He was probably 9 years older than me. And I was kind of like getting messed around with the other kids in the neighborhood. They was a little older than me. But when I told them, I'm going to get my older brother Bobby, they got scared. You want to know why? Because he would tear them up. So what I'm saying is, when you mention a name, there is a difference in the name. People recognize what has happened to them before when you mention the name.
Right.
Satan understands what Jesus is capable of doing.
Right.
That's why he trembles when he hears the name.
Right.
Hold up, you're going to who? Call who? He's trembling.
Right. Amen. Amen.
He has no authority over Jesus. We fooled ourselves in thinking that we have power by ourselves. You don't have any power. You know, and also, you know, have y'all ever talked to people and you invite them to church and they say, well, let me get myself together. I got to get myself together before I come to church.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, that's the lie of the devil. If you can get yourself together, you wouldn't need God. You can't get yourself together. If you could, you would have been done. You would have done it by now. You need God to get you together. So that's why he said, come as you are. So some of us, you know, sometimes you get people that they, you know, sometimes we come to church and we give lip service, but live our lives in our own strength. We operate in our own energy. That's not the way God intended for us to live. He didn't intend for us to live that way. Paul said it in his prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 and 18. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glory, inheritance in the saints, his incomparable great power for us who believe. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which is exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him on the right hand of the heavenly realm. With God, all things are possible. There is no circumstance, no attitude of anybody, and no person outside of God's power. Remember, you don't need to necessarily have great faith in God, but rather faith in a great God who is omnipotent. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says that we have been given a spirit of power. Peter reminds us that his divine power has given us everything we need for life. Amen? And godliness. Let me say this strongly. The normal Christian life is to be characterized by power for living. It's normal to experience and tap into God's power on a daily basis. It's abnormal to not access his power. When you are praying, you're trying to access God's power. You're trying to tap in, amen, to the heavenlies. Speak to God, accessing his power to move on a situation. Now, if you're not trying to access his power, then don't pray. Amen? Don't pray. Because when you pray, you're trying to access the power that God has available for us. You don't have to be strong to get this power. First of all, you need to be weak. The Bible says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why you hear some people say, Lord, I pray that I would decrease so that you can increase. In other words, move me out of the way so that you can come into me and do the work that needs to be done. Because he's the one that's doing it. Those of us who are not yet believers in Christ, some of you are still checking out Christianity. Your life can be radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 1, 16 refers to the gospel as the power of God. All right. The gospel is like dynamite. All right. Amen? All right. It is like dynamite. It can blow away sin and bad habits. Anything that you have, it can blow it away. That's how powerful it is. It can knock off those hard edges. Some of us got some hard edges. Some of us got some stubbornness about ourselves. Some of us don't want to listen. Some of us are hard-headed. But God's power, the gospel, is able to tear it down. Look what it did to Paul. Paul was persecuting the church, but yet the power of the gospel blew up his bad habits, blew up all of his persecution, and got him on the straight and narrow. You can't really experience the power of God in your life until you first respond to the power of the gospel.
All right.
You do not have the power to change yourself. And the good news is that you don't have to clean up your act before coming to Christ. He said, come as you are, and you won't leave as you are. Amen? This is why I don't understand why some churches, they turn folks away because they're not dressed appropriately. Well, how in the world are you going to get them in? If that's all they have, how are we going to get them in? Let them come in. Let them hear the word. Let them get the word inside of them. We weren't always right there. If God is all powerful, this is the one thing that I hear people say a lot. If God is all powerful, if he's omnipotent, then why is there so much suffering in the world? Don't y'all like what those unbelievers say, stuff like that? They think they got you when they hit you with that. That's like, that's their ace card. Bam. If there's a God, then why is all of this mess going on in the world? Why do bus crashes and tornadoes and hurricanes destroy homes? Why does God allow armies to kill innocent people? Why is there so much diseases going around? Why do good people die of cancer? Why doesn't God stop the suffering in the world? Before we say anything else, let us acknowledge the honesty of the questions. All of us have wondered about this at some point in time or another in our walk. Amen. Usually when we are a loved one have passed away with the tragedy, we question God. In this fallen world, we all come to a point. I don't care how saved you are. I know at some point in your mind, you get to that point where you want to ask God, why? It's a difficult question, especially when you are faced with a tragedy we cannot explain. Especially when my brother was killed at 19 years old. Couldn't explain that. Tragedy. Confused, in the prime of his life, full of life and energy, gone, just like that. Difficult question. Every Christian wonders why, sooner or later. So we must face this question squarely. If God is all powerful, why doesn't he use that power to stop the suffering in the world? What kind of God do we believe in? This is an important question because it drives us back to the character of God. Your starting point makes all the difference in the world. If you start with your trials and try to reason back to God, you will never make it. If you start with lung cancer, you try to go back to God, you will never make it. If you start with your divorce and try to make it back to God, you will never get there. If you start with rape and try to get back to God, you will never get there. If you start with bankruptcy and try to get back to God, you will never get there. But I'm going to tell you something. God is there. But he's hard to see when you start with your tragedy. You got to start with God and reason from what you know about God back to your trials. Amen. Yeah. As long as you start with what you see around you, you'll have a hard time finding God in the darkest moments of your life. Right. You will never see him. But he is there. As I said to you last Sunday, when a teacher is in a classroom, every time you are going through a test, every time you're being tested, the teacher is silent. The teacher is not talking. The teacher is not teaching, but the teacher is still present. Amen? Anytime you're going through a test and you feel like God is not talking to you, you feel like God is silent, that is because you are going through a test. Amen. Teachers do not talk during a test, but they are present. They are walking around. You can feel the presence of the teacher. When I was taking a test, I could feel her coming up from behind me. Standing over me, watching me, never said a word, but she was there. And she moved around and went to other students. I can feel the presence of the teacher. As I was going through my test, I knew that the teacher was present and accounted for. I'm trying to get you to understand that when you are going through your test, God is present and accounted for. If you are a child of God, you ought to be able to feel his presence. You ought to be able to know when somebody is coming up on you. We need God. No power or will can hinder his purpose. Nothing. This is what Job discovered at the end of his trials. I find it interesting that as far as we know, Job never discovered the truth about the conversation between God and Satan. I don't think Job really knew that there was a conversation. If you take the book of Job and face value, it is with God interrogating Job. Man, God is interrogating Job in the most humbling fashion. Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when I put the stars there? Where were you, Job? God is interrogating him. In the end, Job bows in silence before God, whose ways are beyond human comprehension. You're not going to understand God. Have any of you all ever understood a mystery? A mystery is something that is not understood. When you think you got it figured out, it comes another way. Some of you may say, it was the butler. It wasn't the butler. It was the maid. It wasn't the maid. It comes a different way. You will never understand the mind of God. God's nature is a mystery. It is something that is not understood. God can take the foolish things to confine the wise. God can say, go bake a cake and eat it, and you will be made whole. Some of y'all are saying, no, that cake is not good for me. It'll just make me sick. But if God say do it, you need to do it. God's omnipotent. His omnipotence teaches us that no power in all the universe can stop me or impede upon my plans. Not even evil man's desires. Not natural disaster. Not reversal of fortune. Not fate, not luck, not chance. Not human error. Not even Satan can hinder the plans of God. When God set out to do something, trust me, it's gonna happen. Have y'all ever felt like somebody was messing with your life? They put obstacles in your way, right? And it seemed like, man, I'm being messed with. But let me tell you something. As long as God's got a plan for you, they can't stop you. It's only an obstacle. All you got to do is go over it, go around it, or go through it. All a person can do in your life is put an obstacle there. But they can't stop the plan of God. You can't do that. You can't hinder God's plan. The truth is that the Father has a plan set in stone for each and every one of us. He has it since the foundation of the world, and the plan will absolutely, definitely come to pass. Oh, it's going to come to pass. God's plans are designed for a specific time and season. Amen. It is designed for a time and a season. Nothing can derail his plans. Nothing happens before his time. God's timing is perfect. He's never too early, and he's never too late. Oh, I know I'm preaching. I know I'm preaching. When you understand and believe the fact, nothing should trouble you. Nothing should bother you. Because you know that God's got you. Y'all ain't talking to me. You gotta keep trusting God. Praising him. Don't stop praising him. I don't care if she goes home and the music is not playing. Don't you stop praising God. The music ain't what's doing it. It's what's on the inside of you. Don't allow the enemy to torment you with what ifs. What ifs of your life? Believe in God and know that no plan of his can be hindered. No one can obstruct, frustrate, defeat a person, defeat God. The center of thwart is to frustrate, which means to hinder, to cause, to stop. You can't stop God. You cannot prevent him from achieving what he wants to achieve. You can't stop God's plans. God's plan will always come to pass. Scriptures are filled with many evidence to support that fact. That's God saying, I know what it started out to be. And I know what he went through. But I know what it's going to be like in the end. See, y'all thinking that Joseph just went on a little trip to go and look for his brothers. That was designed by God for him to go out on this little trip and go see his brothers. And y'all think it was just a coincidence that an angel of the Lord was just happened to be there. No, God has designed this for a specific reason and purpose. Y'all think that pit was there just for some type of just a hole in the ground. No, that was God saying, whatever you bury, I will resurrect. God said, I will bring it back up to life. God was showing you what he was getting ready to do in the life of Jesus. Because Joseph was a type of Christ. And God was saying to them that this is the same thing that they're going to do to Jesus. So he was giving you a preview before the actual event. Y'all ain't talking about it. Y'all. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord's. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how intelligent you are. I don't care what your IQ is. You still ain't gonna outsmart God. I don't care what the intelligence agencies are behind closed doors talking about. Let me tell you something. If God wants me to know it, he'll tell me. Why? Because his presence is everywhere. As I said last Sunday, if I lift my head up in hell, God is there. If I lift my head up in heaven, God is there. You can't get away from him. Let me say this to you. Anybody that fights against God, woe be unto you. It would be better if you weren't even born. It would be better if you weren't even thought of. It would be better if you would just go somewhere and just be nothing. Because you're not gonna do anything to God. God is bigger than you. He's bigger than your situation, bigger than your problem, bigger than anything you ever seen before. We were going to St. Louis the other day. My son said, why does it take so long to get from Smithton to St. Louis? I said, we serve a big God. It takes a long time to travel his country, to travel his world. I said, you got to understand. I told my wife, I said, the earth is the Lord's footstool. Y'all better know who you serving today. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what happens, you cannot outsmart God. Let me say this to you. Y'all know how we think we got something together? My glasses are fogging up too. Can I get a witness?
I understand.
Let me tell you something. We think we got it all together, right? And we think that we have figured it out. When we submit something, we say, oh, this is good. This is right. And we done proofread it and everything. And we looked and make sure we got the periods in the right place and I's dotted and T's crossed and everything. Only to find out that you done got some bad grammar that you are submitting to the person.
All right.
What I'm saying is that you think that you have did a thorough look, thorough background of everything that you have ready to hit sin. Then all of a sudden, you hit sin, and then you see flaws. But let me tell you something. When God looks it over, God already knows it's in perfect condition,
yeah.
Perfect order,
yeah.
It is right.
All
right, and he knows that when he has sinned,
right,
it's going to deliver his message,
right,
because his word is not going to return to him void. In other words, his word is not going to have bad grammar.
Right.
His word is going to go out.
Right.
It's going to accomplish,
right,
what it has set to do.
Right.
And it will hover until you get into your spot.
All right. All right.
Then when you are in your blessed spot,
right,
the blessing of God will land on you. When you hear that still small voice, when you know what to do, when you hear God say, "Here am I, use me, Lord, for I'm here for your service. Make yourself available."
Yeah.
There was a song we used to sing. I ain't finna sing it now, but there was a song that we used to sing. Lord, I'm available to you. Use me, Lord. Let me say this as I get ready to close. You better make sure you're conditioned to be used by God. Because God will wear you out.
All right.
Amen. He will wear you out.
Yeah.
If you don't like exercising, and if you don't like moving around as much, when God gets done with you, you're going to be fit to be used.
All right.
But we serve a God.
Oh, yeah.
God's plan in your situation will stand.
All right.
Nobody can hinder that. If somebody come into your life, they're there for a reason.
Uh-huh.
They're there to either bless you, hinder you, but you better find out why they're there.
All right.
You need to understand, too, that when you are living this life, you're on stage.
Right.
And be careful who you have in your front row.
All right.
Amen?
All right.
You better be careful who you have on your front row.
All right.
Amen? Because I'm telling you, the people on your front row can be a hindering force to you.
All right.
But you better be prayed up.
All right.
That you would withstand,
yes,
the fiery darts of Satan.
All right.
Because I'm going to tell you something. As sure as I stand here with you this morning,
all right,
Satan will attack God's people.
Yes.
See, God knows your future.
Yeah.
Good things are in plan for you.
All right.
But you must trust and believe and put your life in his hand.
Yeah.
God knows all about your troubles.
Yeah.
Knows about my troubles too.
Yeah. All right.
They are in his thoughts. So give him your faith today.
Yeah.
And let him connect the dots,
yeah,
that he's trying to line you up with.
All right.
Allow God to do that,
yeah,
for you.
Yeah.
Let him do it. He is a way maker.
All right.
He is omnipotent.
Yeah.
He is capable of doing everything he, yeah, chooses to do.
Yeah.
There is nothing that God is limited in doing.
All right.
Let me say this to you. If God don't have it, guess what? He can create it.
All right.
He is a creator.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about coveting somebody else's stuff.
All right.
God can give it to you. These preachers
preaching,
naming and claiming. You don't have to name it and claim it. Is that the God that they serving that is limited? The God that I serve is creative. He can create it. God does not operate in one way. He can operate in multiple ways. This is why we shouldn't base our blessing on how somebody else gets theirs. We're looking at this person getting their blessing. Oh, I want God to bless me like that. God may bless you totally different.
All right.
And you're going to miss it,
yeah,
looking at their blessing.
Yeah. Come on here.
Y'all remember the story about the man who was drowning and he wanted God to come down and help him? And God sent so many people to save him? Well, that's us. God can come in a number of ways.
Yeah.
Stop looking for God to be one-dimensional. That's not the God that I serve. He's capable of doing all things. There is nothing too hard for God. This is what he told Abraham. Is there anything too hard for God? No, sir, it's not. You better understand who you serve. You know, when I was growing up, my mother used to say, you better ask somebody. We didn't get mad. You know, your old school parents now. I'm talking about old school. I ain't talking about the new parents. I'm talking about old school parents that would knock you out in front of the police. And tell the police, I dare you to arrest me. I'm talking about old school parents. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I wish you would call the cops. I don't think it was a 911 back then. All you had was help. But them old school parents would say, boy, you better recognize who you talking to. In other words, they wanted you to understand the authority. Who you talking to? We need to understand who we dealing with. God is not on our level. Like these parents, they like, my daughter said, I'm her best friend. Mother, no, are you kidding me? You better understand who you're talking to. When you pray to God, God is capable of doing it. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask. That's if you're a child of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, that prayer ain't going to work for you. Amen. I mean, it'd be like a plane trying to get up off the ground with no gas. Well, come on. No, it ain't going to work. The only thing you're going to do is just be in the way. Yeah. Right. Amen? Am I preaching, y'all? Y'all ain't talking. Am I preaching to y'all? You better have something in your tank. Amen? Amen. I can't go to Bank of America and make a withdrawal. Because I ain't make no deposit. Amen. I ain't made no deposit. I go there and say, I want to withdraw $100. They was like, well, sir, you don't have an account. What do you mean I don't have an account? Ain't this a bank? Amen. This a bank, right? They got money. No, but sir, we don't have you listed as having an account. So you can't make a withdrawal. I don't understand how a bank won't let me make a withdrawal. And it's a bank. They got money. That's how foolishness people sound out there in the world. I can't understand how a loving God won't come and help me. You don't have an account. You want to know why? You don't have an account. You at the wrong bank. You at Saints Bank. That's where your account is. Amen. Your account is at Satan's bank. Change your account. Make a transfer. You gotta transfer your account. Then you can make a withdrawal. Because when you go to heaven, they'll say, oh, Brother Moore, glad to have you. Glad to keep on keeping on. I love you, Brother Moore. Keep doing what you're doing. Brother Pippin, I see your name on the road, too. But you got to have an account. Y'all better leave me alone. Quit messing with me. All right. All right.